investigated on terms of treason, you know, whatever else, because right now, you know, what Obama has done is nothing short of treason. We know that. Same thing with Hillary Clinton. Both of them have abused their positions and only to destroy our country.
Hey, Dan?
And both, yes.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I just got a hold of Tammy. She says she's calling in now, so.
Okay, I just found, well, I found another 214. Is she asked her? She's in Texas.
She's in California. But we could check it and see who's calling in. Maybe it's a different number. She
oh, 909. I found her. Okay. Here she is, and I'll let you introduce her.
Oh, hi, Tammy. How are you?
Is this Gary?
This is me. Well, it's nice to have you on
the
show.
Hello, Mr. Rumor.
Well, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's cold up here. It's about 20 below zero, but we're used to it up here in North Dakota. So.
Yikes.
But anyway,
well,
I'd like
to... I had to be used to that when we were filming the Monroes in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, so I know what you're going through.
Okay. But anyway, I'd like to introduce you to Glenn Atkinson and then Dan Wilson. He's the host, pretty much the host. We're the co-hosts, and I'd like to introduce you to him. And what we have you called in on is for to kind of give you a history of how you got started and, you know, just kind of fill us in. We're going to let you speak and just kind of give us a rundown.
Okay. Well, first of all, hello, Glenn, and hello, Dan.
Well, hello there. Nice to have you on.
Thank you so much.
Nice to meet you, and glad to have you as a guest on our show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a true honor. So the question was a little bit about my life. Well, when I was a little girl, my sister Cheryl was already in the movie business. She did Father Goose and One Man's Way, things like that. And she was going for a role, and we usually had someone that watched me. I was only 18 months old at the time, but the lady that watched me couldn't watch me that day, so my mother had to take me with her on my sister's interview, basically, audition for the role of Sally, which played Robert Redford and Diana Hyland's daughter. Well, since my mother couldn't find anybody to watch me, she had to take me with her. She left me in the room with the director's secretary, and the secretary said, "No problem, Mrs. Locke, I'll watch your daughter, Tammy." So my sister and my mother went into the room adjacent to the room that I was in. And for whatever reason, the secretary got up to get a cup of coffee and left an 18-month-old baby sitting there by herself. Well, luck as would have it, I knew where my mother was. I had to go to the ladies' room. So I opened up the door and walked in. And I said, "Mommy, potty, mommy, potty." And the producers and the directors looked at me. And then they looked at my sister, Cheryl. And then they looked at me and they said, "We want her, not her." And that's how I got into the business. The very first job I landed was Robert Redford's daughter, Sally, in The Voice of Charlie Pont.
Wow.
That's how I got into the business. Now, how I landed the role of the Monroes is that I had done some other things like commercials, for Hammond Organ and for fertilizer and Franco American and Mother's Cookies. And I also did a movie with Anne Margaret, and I played her daughter. And I guess the head guy at 20th Century Fox saw me doing that movie. So he called my mother and he said, I'd like to get an interview with you and Tammy. And so my mother and I went down to 20th Century Fox, and the gentleman came out of his office. I don't recall his name. And I apparently just ran past him into his office, and he met my mother and said, hello, I'm so-and-so. And my mother goes, my daughter just ran into your office. And so they both walked into the office, and I had apparently gotten up on his captain's chair of his desk. I kicked my feet up onto his desk, and I had the phone in my hand, and I was just talking away as if I was talking to somebody on the other line. And he looks at me, and then he looks at my mother, and he says, well, if she's got enough nerve to do something like that, she's perfect for the role of Amy in the TV series The Monroes that I'm casting. And that's how I got Amy in The Monroes.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. But the nice thing is that I was so blessed as a little girl. I don't know how I became so blessed to be in that world, but I grew up with all the greats. I grew up with Clint Howard and Ronnie Howard. Ronnie played in Happy Days. He also was Opie in Mayberry RFD. And I was instructed by their father, Rance Howard. I grew up with Butch Patrick. He played Eddie Munster. I grew up with Billy Mumy. He played Will Robinson on Lost in Space. I grew up with Darby Henton. He played Israel Boone in Daniel Boone. I grew up with all the child greats, basically. And I was just so blessed to have been able to be honored to do that. So,
well, it's sure nice to have you on this show. It's a treat for all of us to have you on here.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Do you have any questions for me?
Well, I remember all those shows, and I'm basically the same age as Ron Howard and the whole group. So I grew up with all of you, and Mayberry RFD, and I can tell you stories of Lost in Space, and I drove by 20th Century Fox once. But that's
wow.
About as close as I came. I lived in,
well,
Palm
it's a
Springs.
It's a beautiful place.
I lived in Palm Springs, and the woman, the house next to me, is where Hedy Lamarr lived.
Ooh.
The catty corner to me was where Bing Crosby lived, and just across the street was Bob Hope's original house. Out of all of them, the only person I got to meet was Bob Hope, and well,
what an honor,
Sonny Bono's wife. But so. Yeah,
how fun, though. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, my gosh, who meets Bob Hope, for heaven's sakes?
Yeah.
I would have loved to have met him.
You were a wonderful man and very friendly. I wish I could say the same for his better half, but we'll keep my that to myself.
I know what you mean.
I can say that Mary Bono, another fellow Republican, was a wonderful person, and I never only saw Cher. I mean, every once in a while you see one of these movie stars walking by, and I knew Barry Manilow and a few others.
Wow.
The airplanes, but I'm not a, you know, don't consider myself a Hollywood person at all. I'm just I'm just me.
Just your everyday you and me.
Exactly. I'm an everyday person. So,
yeah. Did Gary also tell you about the other things that I've done?
No, I'd like to hear the rest of your story.
Well, that's why we have you on there. We want you to tell us. I've heard you sing. You're a great singer, too. Very talented in music.
Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I was, when I was 16, 17, I worked with my sister at Dodge Saloon in Norwalk, and I used to wash all the dishes. It was a country and western bar, and I met the entertainer there, Troy Walker, and Troy Walker introduced me to John Hall and Ralphie Valladares, the two famous professional roller derby stars of TV of the L.A. T-Birds. And I started skating down in Pico Rivera, where they used to train the L.A. T-Birds, and the next thing I knew, I was casted on the Detroit Devils as number 22. So I was a professional roller derby queen for about 1.5 years. I think it was 1.5 years. That was 1979 and 80, I believe. So I did that. I also had a radio show, just kind of like yours. Mine was called the Tammy Jean Show. It was 93.5 KFOX. And it was ran out of Redondo Beach Pier. So I did that for a little while. I was also a country and western headliner. My band was made up of the famous Tex Williams family, the two nephews, Russ Orr and Dennis Orr, Sam Aiello, which was Tex's son-in-law, Marty Rifkin, Christopher Nielsen, and Jeffrey Steele. Was with us for a little while. So we went around touring as Miss Tammy Jean in the California Express for about 5 to 6 years. So I did that for a while. And when I wasn't doing all of the entertainment stuff, my father always tried to keep us grounded. So I remember going, my father was a 40-plus year veteran of Northrop Grumman Corporation. He was an electrical engineer. And I remember going with him at earliest of age 5, and he taught us that reality is the real world of working. The entertainment side was just the fun side of your other world. But reality is what's going to make you the money, basically. And so I've always had a regular job. I worked at Northrop Corporation, first in the electrical wiring department for the F-18 jets. So I soldered and wired all of the instrumentation panels. From there, my father put me into a department called as graphite. So in graphite, they made all of the speed brakes and the leading edges and things like that. So I started doing that as a trainee, and I went all the way up to the top, and I became an instructor in graphite composites for the horizontal stabilizer for the T-38 trainer. So I trained people coming in on how to do the graphite. So I was there for 13 years, I believe it was, and I went from there to Hughes Helicopter, and I did the Apache Attack Helicopter. I've always had a regular job because of the way that my father raised us. It basically he wanted to keep us grounded, and he achieved that goal. But there was one thing that I remember most of all, and that was my father always teaching us that can't got stuck in the mud, and it's still there. If you teach a child from the time that they're able to understand the language of whatever you speak, and whenever that child says, Daddy, I can't, or Mommy, I can't, and you turn around and you keep reiterating, Tammy, or whatever the child's name is, can't got stuck in the mud, and it's still there. Choose another way. So that child is raised learning that the term can't is not in their personal equation. So therefore, I can is the only thing that they know. So therefore, not only did I build airplanes, my father was an inventor. He invented a lot of the machines that run a lot of the things at Northrop Corporation. I, too, am an inventor. I invented some things at Northrop, so they've got patents on a couple of my inventions. And then doing all the things that I did, working at all of the different corporations, no matter what company that I went to and worked for, I always invented something for them, no matter what company that it was. So my word to all of your listeners, if you're raising a little baby, I'm proof to this positive reinforcement of the term, I can.
Exactly. Exactly.
Did you ever have the honor of meeting John Boyd by any chance? Because,
I did
not. You know who I'm talking about, though.
Yeah.
John Boyd was basically the father of the F-A-18 and the F-16, who actually were both in competition with the Air Force when they were originally coming out with that concept to produce a more inexpensive aircraft. And I just wanted to add one more thing. You were talking about composites. In my early career, I was a captain of a sailboat, but prior to that, I was a racing sailor. And we would, when it was raining and off season, we were in the shop helping build these boats with the early composites like carbon, using carbon fiber and vacuum. Different components on boats and
right.
vacuum bagging and the whole process.
Oh yes, autoclave, vacuum bagging, everything. I know it all.
Right, and it's just the sailboat. It actually went right down into the sailing industry, and that's why I know a lot about it, and I can tell you all the whole kit and caboodle and being stuck to resin and feeling like the Tin Man.
I know what you mean. We've got something in common, Dan.
Exactly. it's kind of funny. So I know how to work with carbon. I know how to use with Kevlar and a thousand other things and like doing the layup, and it's a long process. And plus, I was a pilot until I got grounded because of my heart. So we have actually several things in common. But
exactly. Well, my father was a pilot as well. Matter of fact, my mother was a calendar girl for one of the airports. So. Yeah, my father used to fly. He had a lot of, matter of fact, the gentleman that broke the world speed record, I'm trying to think. It's all on my website.
Chuck Yeager.
My father flew with him, and he worked on Jackie Cochran's Black Bottom Ranch, I believe it is, and... it's all on my website on the people that my father hung around, all of these great, the people that flew the planes either broke world speed
right.
records, the lady that broke the world speed record, and just being raised around that type of world was, you look
both.
Back on your life and it was just a true, I was just so blessed. So blessed. I had
you
a great
and
father
both.
And I had a great mother.
My dad is in the Wright-Patterson Experimental Hall of Fame. He started his career at General Dynamics, working on the USS Nautilus and the USS George Washington. And his specialty was a mechanical engineer, specializing in fluid mechanics. And then he went to Pratt & Whitney, and he worked on the E2 and the SR-71 engines before becoming a PhD in mechanical engineering, and he taught at the University of Rhode Island. So our backgrounds are very similar, and my first job out of college was with Raytheon on the, when we worked on the Patriot and the Tomahawk missile programs, and from the software end of things. So you and I have a lot in common.
Yes, we do. Well, you know what they say, Dan. Great minds think alike, darling.
Definitely. So, and that's before I went off into professional yacht racing, and the rest I lived like Jimmy Buffett.
Margaritaville.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so funny.
So, well, I'll turn it over to Glenn. I'm sure he has some questions to ask you.
You know, I've been sitting here trying to figure out, where the heck's Glenn? Why am I not hearing from him?
I've been laughing. Your background is extensive, and it's amazing. What a history you have. It's great. And speaking about history, you mentioned you've been with and met a lot of, actors that have, rose up to be really really famous and whatnot too. What do you feel from being a child actor back then to seeing as you've grown up to be a woman, and seeing a lot of these actors that may not have fared so well with their fame and their fortune, and having corruption and whatever else with that? Because Dan and Gary and I, we talked a few weeks ago about how the family values and within the shows that are out now, as opposed to back, say, when you had your with the Monroes, and you mentioned Ronnie Howard with Andy Griffith and Happy Days, but since then there's been a lot of they've had a lot of complicated lives as child stars and whatever. What have you found that within that transition with them, what have you found as you've witnessed it yourself, as you were up, you were raised with your family? You mentioned your father and everything raised you, and your mom raised you very well. And how do you feel that's a part of their life as they were growing into adulthood, and how they've kind of fell off with that?
Yeah, I know what you mean, and I guess the sad story is that everyone has a choice, and that's not the sad part. Everyone has a choice. We're all born here on God's green earth. Whatever God that you might have in your life, we're all born with one thing. And I think a lot of people forget about that humble thought, and it's the term choice. I have a choice to either be bad or a choice to be good. And I constantly think about that term on a daily basis. What could I do to make somebody's day? What could I do to be a better person? And that's one of the things that my father and my mother raised us with, is that nobody is better than the next person. It doesn't matter if you have more money than anybody else. You're not better than anybody, and they're not better than you.
Right.
And everyone has a choice to be bad or a choice to be good. Unfortunately, when you're raised in that type of an environment and you're so submerged, unfortunately, blinders seem to cover up your eyes and you don't see the humble part of the life. You see what life can be gotten for you with all that you've acquired. And
right.
that's what unfortunately, you get caught up in that world. And honestly, I don't really think that it's their fault. I think it's their fault for not choosing to get out of it.
Right.
But I don't feel that it's any of their fault to be in it. So with that said, I just continue to live a life to where I try and do good things, speak to people on good levels, try not to belittle anyone, try to think of, if I have a conversation with somebody, I'm constantly going over in my head, did I say anything that might have hurt their feelings? And if I come to the point, which very seldom do I do, but if I come to the point in my head, oh, you know what, I might have hurt their feelings by saying this, I go back to that person and I say, you know what, in our conversation I might have said this, and I just wanted to let you know that I'm sorry in case I hurt your feelings. There's nothing wrong with being, coming back and saying I'm sorry. And that's what's lost in this world, is a lot of people don't say, I'm sorry. And if they do, a lot of times they don't mean it.
Exactly.
I not only mean it, I live it.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
Well, very good. That's some great answer to that. You know, those values are lost, you're right, in a lot of people. So, you know, I'm so grateful that you understand that and can share that with people.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. You've had quite an extensive career with different things. You've had, basically, from your folks, handing over to you and whatever, as far as the opportunity to expand on so many different levels. Now it's incredible, because a lot of these child actors, they will continue, you know, growing up into being acting and whatever have you, or they will just, obviously they become, unfortunate, they become an addict of some sort because of money they've had, and they've just corrupted themselves, and you come back to the word choice, and you know it's very, very true. You know, they have a choice of continuing to be a good person or falling off track or whatever. And like you say, it's not always just their fault. They were brought into a situation being younger, and they just obviously, for whatever values, weren't able to handle it correctly. But it's good to see there are people like yourself. You know, there's obviously more people that can handle it than haven't. It's just that with the media and everything that goes on and whatnot nowadays, over the last 30 years or so, they get exploited more for how, you know, the bad things that they've chosen to do with their money or their lifestyle. And it's not as many of them as there are good people that have turned out, you know, pretty well. At the same time, as you get Hollywood in general, I don't like to generalize things, but, you know, in a sense, and when it comes to Hollywood, there's a lot of government attachment with Hollywood now. And I wanted to get your opinion on how Hollywood was back then, and of course you wouldn't have known as a kid how Hollywood and the politics kind of, you know, but as you're being raised, I'm sure you've obviously been able to see how Hollywood and politics are hand in hand, and with the corruption that the politicians use, and Hollywood, has the money, so they have the voice with that money, and how it's all tied in together. Can you emphasize a little bit on that?
You know, I try not to touch too much on that, unfortunately, because I don't believe in that world. I don't believe in buying something in the world, and that's only because I did have a little bit of that in my life back when I was doing a contest called the Battle. What was it? It was a big contest. I can't remember what it was. It was a country western contest, and I went up on stage and I sang a cappella. Marty Rifkin, my steel guitarist, pedal steel guitarist, played a little bit, but I sang a cappella in this contest. And we were supposed to, whoever the winner was supposed to appear with Merle Haggard at the Universal Amphitheater. And there was no doubt that I had won this thing, but unfortunately there was a band, Western Union, I believe it was back then, and I understand that their father bought the entire contest. So it didn't matter if I had 3 standing ovations, to which I did at that point in time.
Wow.
Or no standing ovations. The contest was bought and paid for. And it hurt me more than anything else in the world. And that's probably one of the reasons why I just don't believe in something like that. I believe in winning and achieving on your own, no matter what it is. And to have something bought for you, I don't know. It shows people the wrong avenue, basically, is how I feel, because you don't actually earn it. So,
right? Yeah, you know, I'm sorry that happened to you, and you're so right. That was a great answer, very well stated, very articulately put. Because you know, yeah, you know, to have something handed to you or bought for you or whatever, we don't get the value of that, and you know, so obviously you get that because of, you know, your history even before that, and being raised properly to you earned everything. You know, you earned by your own merit, and you weren't given nothing or handed over. So, you know, that it's so right, you know, that that what you say there, that, yeah, a lot of people out there that they have the money, so they buy into something, and you know, your own work ethic and your own merit and your own, you know, everything you've done, you put into something. You know, you should be getting the credit that's deserved for that. And unfortunately, what's happened over the last several decades is money seems to be trumping things and winning over people, because the money is their power. And that's all greed and selfishness, which obviously you have no part in. And I'm glad that you are like that, because, you know, you see that corruption as you've been a part of, you know, the result of that. And it's so unfortunate that it happens. But it needs to be changed. And people like yourself voicing that will certainly be a good step forward in changing it. So thank you for that answer.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's just something that it's born and raised in my core, and I just don't believe in doing that sort of life. I just
amen.
You know.
Well, eventually.
And I love all of my fans and all of my friends and fans on Facebook, and I've just been blessed to have all of them. And what's nice is that the fans have learned over the years that I am, in fact, the way that I am. So when somebody that's bad comes on my Facebook and starts saying something bad, all of them come to my aid and, you know, tell them, you know, leave her alone or this, that, or the other. But it's nice, because people are hearing me, you know, how I live, how I believe, what
right.
I believe. And if I can get a little bit of that knowledge out, especially with this show, in the term I can, if I can teach young parents what I've learned from my father, Earl, teaching me, and my mother, Lola, teaching me, I can. We can raise children up to do whatever they want and be very humble in doing it and earn all of, you know, their hard, you know, work hard and achieve and earn your own money and know that you can buy things with your money, but don't go that route, basically.
Amen.
Exactly. Amen on that.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I guess end this over. Maybe Dan has a question or Gary. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say it was very inspiring. And by the way, Tammy, you are loved more than you'll ever know. I mean, that really, really inspired me. I mean, that's the way I was raised, too. You know, my dad told me, and you know, and when I was much younger, he said, son, he said, don't ever lie, don't ever cheat.
Amen.
And
amen.
You treat people like you want to be treated, and he said, you're going to do fine in life. And that's what he told me.
Amen.
It's a simple thing, but it works, you know.
Amen. Yep. Oh. And oh. What's silly is that it's so little to be said. You know, it takes nothing to say things like that. But it's a whole world to learn something like that.
Exactly.
And it changes the world as well, and the people around you that understand it as well.
Mm-hmm. And I got to say something, too. Both Dan and Glenn there, I met Tammy through, I was actually on Morgan Brittany's Facebook page. That's how I met her. I was trying to figure out. I heard the name, and I just couldn't match it up. I said, I knew she was on some TV show, and I couldn't. You finally told me, and then you sent me a request. And but I tell you, it's such an honor to be a friend of yours. You know.
Oh, thank you, honey. I love you, too.
You are very well loved. And,
Morgan and I were in, oh, my goodness, and I'm having a mental. Isn't that something? You turn 54 and, you know, gosh help you. Meet Me in St. Louis. We did a TV pilot together, and we were hoping that the TV pilot would go, but it didn't, unfortunately. But, you know, just the honor of being with the cast, like Celeste Holmes and all of them, Morgan and Shelley Fabre, and I mean, just it was just a wonderful thing, and I come to rekindle our friendship some years back with Morgan, and she's just a beautiful woman. She's a beautiful lady.
She is.
She's a beautiful friend.
I've talked to her many times on the phone and various shows, and actually got to know her pretty well, and she's got a great sense of humor. I usually try to get her to laugh, and she, you know, which has helped me. I love to laugh, and that's, you know, so. But I got I remember the first time I called in and I talked to her. I had everything rehearsed, you know. You try to rehearse so you don't sound, you know, like you don't know anything. Well, I went on the air, and I said, now what I'm going to talk about? I said that. I said, what am I going to talk about? I forgot what I was going to talk about. And she got a kick. She just laughed, you know, and it made me more comfortable. And when you get more comfortable, then your memory works a little better. But
yeah.
Sometimes
well,
you have
you
your
know what,
embarrassing
Gary,
moment. But what's
Gary,
that?
It comes down to the fact that we're real. That's just the bottom line. We're real,
exactly.
And we have flaws, and we make mistakes, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, we can laugh at ourselves for doing that, and that's a wonderful thing when you can do that, but there's a lot of people that can't, and that's unfortunate for them.
That's exactly right. So, but, yeah, it's always an honor to be able to talk to you and, you know, and talk to Morgan, and I'm even friends with her husband, and
aww.
Oh, yeah, Jack.
Jack, yeah.
He's a stunt driver, I guess. He's,
yes,
he's,
he is. He's a stunt man. He's been in the business for many, many years. Many years.
Mm-hmm. I think he's produced a couple of movies, too. So.
Yes, I understand that he has.
So, but I said that's a dangerous business, you know, to be in. You know, cause a lot of people get injured and killed doing that, you know. So.
Yes, they do. So. But he does it. You know, with experience, and he's an expert at everything. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
oh, yeah,
there is danger in it, but he knows the avenues to keep himself safe, and that's the important part.
Exactly, yeah, you have to know what you're doing. So.
Exactly. And if you thought I was 54, I was just kidding. I'm 56 and proud of it.
Hey, we're the same age.
Every once in a while, it just feels good to say, oh, okay, I'm 32, or I'm 29, or I'm 50. Or
I just stick with the age of 29 to stay there.
That,
stay there
that so. Sounds good to me, and next year I'll be 28.
28, go back, yeah.
Oh, too
well, I
funny.
Like 35. That was my favorite year. So.
Now 25 is my favorite year. Nobody threw me a birthday party that year, so I said, the heck with this. I'm throwing myself my own birthday party, and I took my money, called my best friend Laura, said, okay, I'm buying a limousine for the entire night. I'm drawing up an itinerary. I'm putting on it the different clubs and the location of every single thing, and I said, I'm going to allow us this many minutes in each place, and I'm going to have him come in and take us out and put us back in the car and go to every single place, and boy, we did.
Sometimes that's the way you have to do things.
Yeah, he kind of poured us into my front room. But that was the best birthday present I ever had. 25 again. God, 25.
Yeah.
But it's true that what you were saying about being able to laugh for yourself, and I discovered that one on my own. One day I was looking at the mirror. You know, when you're at that awkward age and I was about to sprout at that time, and I got pudgy for a little while. And I looked at the mirror and saw my love handles, and I started laughing hysterically. And I was laughing at myself. And it taught me something that, you know, when you can laugh at yourself is really where you found the key to happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And admitting you're wrong, there are so many people out there that think that's a sign of weakness.
Oh, no.
But for anybody who follows my writings, I post an article I try to every day. But I think twice I made a mistake where I didn't do quite enough research and I found out I was wrong later. I immediately wrote a retraction and said, I'm sorry, but I goofed. And
I do it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, especially in
Facebook. We're not perfect, Dan. We're not perfect. That's just the bottom line. Nobody in this world is perfect except for God above.
Right, and I'm sure certainly not him. Lord knows. I got my share, of spankings growing up.
Well, I think we all have.
Oh, I know I did. Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Trust me, over my life, I've had my share of mess ups, but I think in the long run, it came out okay.
Amen to that. I remember when I was a little girl, we used to live next door to a family in Torrance known as the Chessmores, and it was always the Locks or the Chessmores versus the Locks. So no matter what we had, if we had one boat, they had to have four. If we had nine horses, they had to have 24 or so on and so forth. But I remember one day the girls and I were all, and they were saying it was okay to do. And, of course, me being so young, I didn't know the difference between if it was right or if it wasn't right. But we would hang on their electric door, garage door, and as it would go up, we'd all go up with it. And as it would come down, we'd all come down with it. Well, unfortunately, since there was three, I think it was, plus me, two or three of them, it broke, and Mr. Chessmore came over and said, Tammy broke my garage door. And my father was so mad, and I kept telling my dad, it wasn't just me, Daddy, it wasn't just me, it was so-and-so-and-so-and-so. And he goes, I don't believe you. And I got the worst whipping in my whole life at the top of the stairs, and I just kept telling him, Daddy, I'm not telling a lie. I'm not. I swear I'm not. But I got the worst whipping, and I learned a lot that day. And what he did was one of the girls, Kelly, was with her mother. She wasn't on the garage door that day. And Kelly came driving up with her mom, and my dad snuck outside, and he ran over to Kelly really quick, and he says, Kelly, he says, Tammy said that you saw so-and-so-and-so-and-so-and-so on the garage door. Who was on the garage door? And Kelly told my father who was on it. So it proved that I was telling the truth, and my father never whipped me from that day on.
No.
And the reason why I told the truth is because my dad taught me that.
I tried that too, but every time I got blamed, and I went down with the ship. But you know,
you were a bad boy, weren't you? Yeah, you know, they say bad to the bone, bad to the bone.
Exactly. That was a good group. George Thorogood. I love
too
listening
funny.
To music, but I have a voice that could kill a cat.
Ooh.
Well, I love music.
I love music. I taught myself how to sing. I sat in our living room, and I just listen to everybody like Barbara Streisand and Diana Ross and Barbara Mandrell and Patsy
mm-hmm.
Cline. I just listened to their records over and over mm-hmm. and over, and I taught myself how to sing.
And I
remember, tried, but the good Lord never gave me that as a gift.
But I took up the trumpet. That's why I couldn't sing either. I took up the trumpet and
worked on that.
That was a lot easier for me. So, but anyway, I was just going to tell you, back about 77, maybe 78, I remember I was single at the time, and I decided to take my mom to a Count Basie concert.
Ooh,
and that was right in Jamestown here, you know, and we went there, and then that band was so great. It just pinned you against the wall. It was so great. And afterwards, my mom said, let's go back and meet them. And I said, well, Mom, there was a police officer standing there. I don't think they're going to let you back there. And so we walked up. Mom said, well, let's just see here. So we walked up to, she asked, can we go back there? And he said, sure, go ahead. And we walked back.
Oh, my gosh.
Got to meet all the band. Got to meet Count Basie. And it was really a treat.
Wow. That's awesome.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
Awesome.
That,
passed on, but you know.
But that's funny that you. Well, I saw Basie at Newport Jazz Fest. I grew up near Newport, Rhode Island, and of course Newport Jazz Fest is world renowned. But I had I was a trumpet player too, and Sammy Nestico, who wrote
mm-hmm.
for. Who arranged for Count Basie.
Exactly.
And our band. One of Count Basie's last albums, Basie Straight Ahead, we actually played in high school. And with Sammy Nestico as the arranger leading us. And so that was one of the highlights of my life. I was never a great trumpet player. I was an okay trumpet player. I was one of those type that could make the trumpet cry, but I wasn't a screecher.
Wow.
I just could pour all my emotions into the trumpet, and that was my gift. And my great-grandfather played in the original John Phillips band.
Oh, wow.
So that was a big highlight also. And on my end here, I got Margaret Thatcher. I call her Margaret Thatcher because she's telling me it's near the end of the show. So any last comments before they cut us off?
Oh, I got 1 minute left. Oh, okay.
You
moved by too quick.
We blew it right through.
Well, gentlemen, I just want to say that it was a true honor to be on your show, and I would do it again if I had the chance. Gary, I love you dearly, honey.
Well, I love you too. I mean, we all love you. And like I said, you can always call in again too. So.
And Dan and Glenn, it was a true honor to meet both of you as well.
Thank you so much to have you on the
Same
show.
Here.
And yes, you're welcome back anytime. That'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have any last questions for me? Hopefully there was nobody waiting to ask a question on the line. But
what we'll do is invite you back for a second round later on, and we can continue on with this because I have thoroughly enjoyed this show tonight and today, whatever.
It was a lot of fun.
Hey, you're still laughing at yourself. That's a good thing. Tonight. Who the heck cares? It's tonight somewhere in the world.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
5 o'clock somewhere, which reminds me, no. It's Margaritaville time.
There you go.
Getting there. I'm the Floridian, so.
Yeehaw.
You'll have to hear Tammy sing, too. I heard her sing a few selections there, and maybe I could post a couple. You have some videos on your Facebook page I could post, or sure?
I do, actually. I've got some videos of excerpts of the things that I was in and in the movie business. I do have singing on my website. I also have kind of like just radio players as well with songs and stuff. So there's quite a bit on my website. It gives the bridge between then and now. So
Okay.
And the gentleman that I married, we're going to have our 20th wedding anniversary this Tuesday. So,
well, congratulations.
Tom, and thank you. And our son, Rob. So it's just been it's been one glory ride.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we can even get your husband on sometime, too. You know?
Hey, there you go. Well, let me tell you who he is. He's the great-grandson from the president of Mexico, and his grandfather rode with Pancho Villa.
Oh, okay.
At this my fiance, I was born in Pancho Villa's hideout in Tucson,
ooh,
Arizona.
Wow.
Small world there.
Yes, it is. Well, you guys sure that I get a recording of this, because I'm going to put it on my website for everyone to hear. Please make sure
that
I get
that
an MP3.
This goes into archives automatically. And if you just go to on to Blog Talk Radio and then go to Continued for Truth Radio, and then just follow down to Saturday Symposium, it's right there on archive, so you can record it and do whatever you want.
Yeah, I can put
perfect.
It on
a, Gary, you'll shoot me a URL on that in an instant message, would you?
Sure will.
Yeah, I know.
We'll
kinda
do that.
it was a
going
bit
from
of
here
a,
to here to here to here got me,
here
got
here.
Me mixed up from here.
It's like a ping pong ball.
I will do that for you.
I think, wait, who's on third?
What's on second?
Oh, tears
it's
are running down my
pleasure.
Face, so I'm laughing so hard.
Third base, no.
Just let me know who's on second. I don't know.
And I don't give a darn. No, he's left field.
All right, guys, I'll let you go. You guys have a blessed day, and just remember,
okay.
Can't got stuck in the mud, and it's still there. Choose another way.
Amen.
Exactly. Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You,
God bless, and everything that's gone past the showtime will remain on archives. I think we have an extra 15 minutes which we can survive before Margaret Thatcher comes on my headset and cuts me off. I call her Margaret Thatcher because she has a British accent. So
she
all
lets
right.
us know when it's showtime, too.
There you go. Well, I'm going to let you guys go. I got to get ready for the day. I got to go to the store. And, you know, I have to do all of those things that everybody else does.
Okay. And, again, it was a great honor to have you on. It was so much fun. It was just a blast. I just enjoyed
Thank
this
you,
immensely.
Again,
so.
God bless.
I love you, too.
God bless you.
God bless
God
you
bless.
Both.
God bless
actually,
you.
God bless all three of you.
And God bless you.
Well, we had a wonderful time.
Thank you, I do.
Take
too.
Care.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
What do you guys
well,
think?
Well, that was
fun, wasn't it?
Enjoyable show, and I was amazed at how many things, how her life and my life paralleled each other so much in so many different ways. Except for the talent aspect. I fucking did it.
Well, I learned a lot from her today. I mean, she, you know, she was really, you know, has accomplished a lot in her life. Tremendous amount. More than vast majority of people do.